Mazars HR Series. This series has been designed to help you strengthen your skills in most dimensions of the HR function. Episode 3: Golden Rules of Peer Coaching.
Now that we know from episode 1 and 2 what peer coaching is and how to initiate it, let's discuss coaching styles. Today with us, Laurent Chouin, Chief Leadership, Education and Culture at the leading international audit, tax and advisory firm, Mazars. Laurent, could you please tell us what are the golden rules to be a great coach?
Well, there are likely 10 simple rules, I would say, in my mind that all peer coaches should master. First things first, as explained in episode 2, forcing a coaching relationship would destroy any coaching right from the beginning. So rule number one is it's essential to remember not to force a coaching relationship by not coaching a person who doesn't want to be coached. So don't coach the uncoachable. That's really the rule number one. What I mean here is, have you ever tried to change the attitude of an adult who did not wish to change? Did it go well? No, we all know it didn't go well. By the way, how did you feel yourself the last time someone tried to change you against your will? Same, not well. So feedback and coaching are most successful when applied to people who want genuinely to improve, not when applied to people who have no interest in changing. This is true whether you're acting as a professional coach, a manager, a family member, a friend, whatever. This does not mean you should give up, by the way. But it means, as a coach, you should try to raise the appetite of the person to be coached. For instance, by reaffirming yourself as a trustworthy individual or by pinpointing a need, for instance, that person would have. The ultimate talent as a coach is to be able to trigger an appetite for coaching prior to coaching. Rule number two, we are talking about peer coaching, not just coaching by a peer. What I mean by this is it is essential to establish a symmetry of intent between the people who will be participating in the peer coaching. So it's coaching between peers, but it's reciprocal. This means that we are not in a situation where one knows and the other does not. Don't try to be a professional coach, actually. They are in this situation, but you are not. The best way to gain respect from your coachee is to put yourself in a situation in which you're coached by a peer. In other words, to suggest a mutual feedback, a reciprocal feedback, which naturally requires a balanced, caring attitude, of course. Technically, it is absolutely possible to be a wonderful coach, but a terrible coachee. In this case, you might consider becoming a professional coach. That would be probably the best option. Rule number three is to keep the little flame burning. A coaching situation might lead you to talk down to people because of the situation itself. What is important here is not to tell the truth whatever it costs. If it's to hurt people, then you will totally miss your target. This is often associated to what is called managerial courage, but actually there is no courage in this. In other words, that can put you in a situation of killing the little flame of the person in front of you. As soon as you are in a position to give feedback, your permanent focus should be to reinforce the people's self-esteem and increase their motivation to do better, to correct, improve, ask for more feedback. You should always keep the image of this little flickering flame that you can revive. Keep the flame burning. Rule number four is very simple. Leave Sigmund alone. Don't try to psychoanalyze. This is not the name of the game here. Forget about psychiatric principles. You're not trained for this. You're not certified for this. Don't try to learn that. If this is your coach's need, redirect them to a professional. Don't cross the limits of peer coaching. One of the most famous life coaches, called Tony Robbins, for instance, himself asked specifically that his own biography that you can find on Netflix is called I Am Not Your Guru. So you see, don't try to be a guru. A peer coach is a companion, not a guru. The essence of the next rule, rule number five, was formulated by Marshall Rosenberg, the father of nonviolent communication. In life, you have the choice between being right or being happy. We live in a world of insecure overachievers who always want to win. Hi, honey, I had a hard day today. Oh, you had a hard day? Let me tell you what a hard day is. Even in misery, we want to win. The purpose of peer coaching is not to win or hold the mirror up to the person in front of you. It is rather to make sure that this person will survive the session and is then willing to improve. Or, in other words, your job is to make sure that the evening won't be even harder than the day was. Rule number 6 is that a great peer coaching session is short and fun. The longer the better was not invented after a feedback session. Never-ending coaching sessions are torture, even when they are positive. Keep your feedback short and open to interaction. Additionally, a dash of humor never hurts, and it can even help to convey delicate or controversial messages. But whatever the content, don't beat your argument to death. Rules number 7. Always check the weather forecast before you go sailing. Coaching needs to happen at the right moment. There are times or states of mind that sometimes make it not the right moment. This sensitivity to good timing is fundamental in peer coaching. The right feedback at the wrong moment is as bad as the wrong feedback at the right moment. So don't rush to give advice. Go back to rule number 1, by the way. It's all about timing. Rule number 8 is a little bit surprising. In organizations, but also in general, we're used to believing that it is very important to ask the question why. However, in coaching, why is actually the worst possible question. The reason is that the question why leads to judgment. The principle of coaching is not to take a look at the behavior of the other, whether moral, ethical, technical, or professional. It is to make sure to help a person who has chosen to progress on a chosen behavior. In other words, rather than endlessly digging and questioning why the person behaves in a particular way, your mission is to help the person find how to change their behavior, not why. Rule number 9 is the response on how to avoid the why described in rule number 8. In reality, wanting to know the why comes down to questioning and analyzing what already happened and which cannot be changed anymore. In order to avoid that, first, learn how to rephrase. Rephrasing is the bread and butter of coaching. Secondly, don't look back. Don't consider changing things that already happened. The important thing is to give feed forward, as coined by Marshall Goldsmith. Feed forward is based on suggestions for the future that might help someone achieve a positive change in their selective behavior, rather than actually analyzing and beating to death the analysis of the past. Feed forward is especially suited for successful people who tend to resist negative judgment, but like getting ideas aimed at helping them achieve their goals and being a better version of themselves. It's faster than feedback, less judgmental, and people listen much more to it. So, practice feed forward much more than feedback. Finally, rule number 10, if you want to finish a coaching session in the right manner, you shouldn't ask whether the person is happy with the session. You should ask, actually, whether the session was useful. And this is the most important thing you have to do. Always finish a coaching session by this question. Was it useful to you? By answering this question, you will see people will open their mind and they will also give more arguments than just a yes or a no. And then you can start elaborating the principle and the basics of your next session thanks to this.
Thank you, Laurent, for this inspiring and useful set of rules, which I am sure our listeners will take with them to their next peer coaching session.
This is the end of the episode 3. Stay with us for the episode 4 about how to organize effective peer coaching sessions.